BC and Ontario are looking into sexualized dress codes, but workplace equality experts say that we can't limit that conversation to, like, just the restaurant industry. Communications expert Evan Thompson joins Canada Now. And Evan, yes, both genders will make the effort to keep up our physical appearances, but aren't women often expected to go to greater lengths to do so?
I believe so, absolutely. This view is really steeped in tradition. You know, in the practicing professions, you know, the law firms, the accounting firms, once male dominated, there was always a view that women were not equal to men. And so to really justify their existence, they had to take advantage of the visual and their image to try and, you know, get closer to breaking through that glass ceiling. This is really, you know, from an historical perspective, things are much better now. But I really think the whole issue started, the slippery slope began way back in the 70s with the Casual Friday movement. And then the 2012 successful launch of Facebook, where people, billionaires, were wearing hoodies. And Mark Zuckerberg claims that he wears the same gray shirt every day. And he can get away with it, but I don't think there are too many female executives within his organization who can.
Yeah, I mean, it's 2017. I don't know about you, but I'm very disappointed that we haven't gotten to that point where they can.
Well, I think, you know, looking at a couple of things, in the hospitality industry, you know, the dialogue between the server, the woman server, the male server, and the patron is often driven by the attraction, the visual appearance. And the more dialogue, the more sales and the more tips. And this translates in a way to corporate Canada, where women really are expected to go the extra length and dress in a way that really meets the expectations and the requirements of their male counterparts. This really came to light back in the 80s. There was a case involving Price Waterhouse versus Ann Hopkins. She won a sex discrimination case that was brought before the U.S. Supreme Court. 6 years of litigation later, she earned her back pay and a partnership in the firm. It was determined that this was a violation of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And it was predicated because she wouldn't dress in a certain way, she would wear makeup in a certain way, and she wouldn't do her hair to the approval of her male counterparts at this Big Eight accounting firm. So this was even then highly, highly politicized. It went to the Supreme Court. But it's a really complicated minefield. And so many factors are now in play. You know, the blurring of working at home, working at the office. What's the crossover attire from, you know, being at home with your family, then coming to work? It's a lingering problem, and there's really very little one can do independently except have good conversations with your boss. If you're a woman, describe your lack of discomfort at being told what to wear and proceed from there and win their trust by your professional performance.
Well, let's talk about conversation. I mean, the chief commissioner of the Ontario Human Rights Commission said the issue comes up most often in restaurants and in bars. Do you feel this conversation is widespread enough within the general workforce or just limited to a few different industries?
I think it should be more widespread, but I agree it's limited to a few industries where image is often just as important, you know, to a patron, a client, a prospect, is real performance. You may recall Vancouver, Andrea Motu. She had the nerve to take her case to the BC Human Rights Tribunal in 2004, and she pocketed $6,000 hard-earned dollars. And the tribunal found that having her appear at a Hawaii theme night at the bar in a bikini top was discriminatory. She showed up in a black turtleneck, which got all sorts of media attention. I think the only way this is really going to change is if we have more Andrea Motus in place. And she since went on to a legal career.
Well, as far as you know, and you might not be able to know, but which industries need to work harder on banning dress codes that discriminate on the basis of gender?
Definitely the hospitality industry.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of pressure on client patron facing servers to build the dialogue, get more tips, drive sales, because they can be easily replaced, and the owners of these establishments are faced with financial challenges. And it really comes down to the number of turns per night and the cash flow, the take at the end of the night. That's really what's driving most owners, and I think they would agree.
Do you feel women in politics are way more scrutinized for their appearance, and how they dress?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. This, again, you know, is part of the news information industry when it began and started to grow, where anchors, female anchors, are really expected to have a certain look, a certain appearance. And that appearance couldn't cost them a lot of money. They have to dress, they have to do makeup.
Yeah.
And that's just an indication of how image really can often trump professional performance and knowledge.
Well, and there would be a lot of people that would be out there saying, well, yeah, okay, so women have to get up earlier, perhaps, than men do if they want to keep up with the good appearances, that, yeah, they got to lay out some dough for makeup, but they'd be doing all that stuff anyway because they would want to buy the makeup and they would want to put it on and they would want to look like their best version of themselves, you know, because they're leaving the house anyway. I don't think that's necessarily true. And if women in the workforce had said, hey, you know what, if you want me to keep up appearances as I do and I maybe need to be compensated for something like that, be it with time or financially speaking, I would totally get that.
Well, it's interesting. It can really be a double-edged sword where there was some research done. The Harvard Business Review did some research talking about women who appear overly groomed in the workplace. And some employers and managers in this study showed a real bias to women who just basically looked too well. They outshone their male counterparts because they were really overly groomed in their estimation. So you want to look great, but you don't want to look too great. And sadly, it's really a matter of the employer's perception. It's so subjective.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Don't look too great. It's not a problem here. Believe me, Evan, it's not a problem for me. Are issues of physical appearance connected to things like the wage gap and lower promotion rates?
Absolutely, and research will bear this out. You know, you've read studies about the power of the first impression and how your credibility is assessed by your appearance. And this is really tragic, in my estimation. It's very sad and it's very unfair. People who have weight issues come to these issues not through lack of character, not through lack of discipline. They have hormonal challenges. They are sick. Mm-hmm. They have diabetes. They have all manner of medical challenges. These are forgotten when it comes to interview time. And the interviewer in the first 10 seconds decides if this person can cut it in front of a five-star client. So it's really challenging, and it's very, very unfair.
Do you think that as a society that we're overcoming all of this, at least slowly, that we're making strides? Because, you know, I hope, Evan, as much as I'm enjoying our conversation, I would rather be talking about other things with you. I would hope that in a few years from now, we wouldn't have to have this conversation.
I think the time is coming, really, when these conversations won't be necessary. Do you remember the huge debate about smoking? And now smoking is really not a popular pastime. It doesn't win you friends, especially in a bar where it's illegal or a public place. The same will hold when employers judge people based on their personal appearance. And women have been raised, conditioned, brainwashed, really, into thinking that their appearance will really make all the difference. And it backfires sadly when often it doesn't. It's a very confusing environment for both sexes.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, the conversation is going to be very different in a few years, as you're hopeful for. Communications expert Evan Thompson, thanks for joining us, Evan. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Jeff.